Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
And speaking of going on from glory to glory, we are looking at the life of Moses and seeing how he matures in his faith to the place where he becomes like Jesus, where the Bible refers to Moses, where he's a prophet just like the Lord, or the Lord is the prophet who's like Moses, the Bible talks about. So we saw that Moses didn't start out that great. He started out, first he killed a man, he was a murderer. And then he was exiled out there in the wilderness for about 40 years. Then God came and visited him in a spectacular way in a bush that was on fire but wasn't consumed. God begins to speak to Moses in this spectacular way to go back to Egypt and fulfill that call that has been in his heart since he was a little child. And Moses, you know, at first he is very reluctant about this. He is resisting God on it. He even gets God upset about it. Because he's like, I can't do it. Who am I that I should go speak to Pharaoh? And he's, you know, I'm not a good speaker and all these things. And so God's having this big argument with Moses to get him to go. And that tells you a lot right there. You know, when God finds somebody that is what he's looking for, someone that has a heart that he is after, God is going to track you. God is going to get his man. Or his woman, right? God's going to get the one whose heart is pure. Even though he was kind of spastic at this point in the natural, God saw what was in his heart. And God sees what's in your heart. And a lot of times we judge ourselves according to the flesh. You know, we'll get all upset over some little goofy thing, little stumble here and there in the flesh. You know, we said the wrong thing or we didn't do it very good or whatever. And that's how we see ourselves. But God sees much deeper than the surface. God sees much deeper. He sees into our hearts. And as we're obeying his word and walking in the truth and seeking him, our hearts are becoming more and more pure before him. And as we become more and more pure before him, we become more and more irresistible to God. It gets to the point where God's like, I'm going to have you, and you're going to go, and I'll be with you. You're going to do what I have called you to do. You don't have to beg God to use you if your heart is pure. That's why we don't want to focus so much on the outward and what we're doing or what we want to do for God. We need to focus in on what we want to be, what we're becoming for God. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. We're being transformed from faith to faith, glory to glory, by the Spirit of God. As we're sitting here tonight, renewing our mind with the Word of God, endeavoring to be doers of the will of God for our life, God is changing us from the inside out. And that's where our focus is. Our focus is on the inside. How do we look on the inside? You got to judge yourself not according to the flesh. You got to always come back and judge yourself according to the Spirit. Don't judge yourself based on your status in the natural, how you appear to others, your occupation, your income, what you're doing, what you're not doing. No, judge yourself according to the Spirit. What's going on the inside of you? I'm getting bigger. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. How many of you are getting better? Yeah, we're getting better and better and better. And that's what was happening to Moses for this entire 80 years. God was working in him. And at 80 years of age, God is like, you are too irresistible to me, Moses. You are the man that I'm going to use. I'm going to have you. You don't have to beg God to use you when your heart is right in his sight. He'll come in. He'll beg you. Because really, that's what he's doing with Moses, right? He's pretty much telling Moses, you're going to go. And he's really begging Moses, pressuring Moses. I mean, you know, really getting on Moses about going. And Moses is just looking at himself according to the flesh, thinking, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. Well, finally he gets to the place where he says, all right, I'll go, I'll do it. And so here we are in Exodus, the fourth chapter. Moses is now finally convinced that he's the one God wants to use. And so he is now on the way to do what God has called him to do. And it says in Exodus 4, verse 24, and it came to pass on the way, at the encampment, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Huh? Now that's real bizarre, isn't it? I mean, wait a second. The Lord has just finally convinced Moses to go, to do this thing, go back to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh and deliver the children of Israel. And so finally Moses is doing it. He's going. And he's on the way. And so he sets up camp for the night in his travels. And the Lord met him and sought to kill him. That sounds like a schizophrenic Lord to me, doesn't it? I mean, the Lord is like, I want to use you. You're my man for the job. He finally gets Moses to go. Moses is now obeying God and going. And suddenly it says the Lord sought to kill him. Verse 25, then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you're a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. So we see that Moses is on his way to Egypt and he's got his family going with him. And suddenly something happens here on the way. The Lord sought to kill him. Now we don't know exactly what's happening to Moses here in the natural. We don't know what's happening to his body at this point. But Moses is obviously, he's dying. He's on the verge of dying. He's about to be killed. And Zipporah sees this taking place. She sees something happening to Moses. And she knows that she's about to lose her husband. He's about to die. And so she takes a sharp stone and cuts off the foreskin of her son. She circumcises her son and says, surely you are a husband of blood to me. Which tells you right there, she obviously was not happy about circumcision. She wasn't happy about it. She thought that was just a bloody mess. But so what is circumcision? There was a covenant of circumcision that God had set up with Abraham and his descendants after him. The children of Israel were to be circumcised as a sign of their being in covenant with God. And circumcision is a type of our consecration to God. It's a sign of our consecration or our separation unto God, that we belong to Him. And so obviously Moses did not circumcise his son as God had commanded the children of Israel to do. All their children are to be circumcised. Moses didn't do that. Remember, Zipporah, she was not an Israelite. She was not Jewish. All right? Moses had met her out in Midian. She was a Midianite. And she obviously did not like, he obviously explained circumcision to her, and she was like, no way, that ain't happening. That's terrible. And so she resisted having their son circumcised, and apparently Moses heeded the voice of his wife in this matter. Thus, taking what his wife wanted above what God had commanded him. Well, you see, what did that do? That opened the door for the devil to come in and try to kill Moses. We know from the New Testament that the devil is the one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, not the Lord. But again, this is a perfect example of Old Testament language, where the Old Testament doesn't say very much about Satan or demons. Doesn't say very much about it at all. Rather, it speaks of the Lord's judgment. And again, what is judgment? What is the Lord's judgment? That's just a person reaping the consequences of their sin. That's what judgment is. Mercy is the opposite of judgment. Mercy is you not reaping the consequences of your sin. You're not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. All right? So again, judgment isn't God's hand coming down on a person. It's a person getting out from underneath the protective, loving hand of God. And when you get out from under his hand, you get away from his mercy. When you get away from his mercy, all that's left is judgment. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap the consequences of your sin. So Moses, by not circumcising his son, he had gotten outside the covenant that God had established to protect him from Satan. Thank God we've got a covenant with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we are in covenant with God. And that's why no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know weapons are formed against us from the devil. The devil, again, seeks to kill, seeks to steal and destroy. But thank God, the Bible says in Isaiah, looking forward to the covenant that you and I have today, he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on and tells you why. He goes on and says, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the children of God, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, we're the righteousness of God. Therefore, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who has risen and is even seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Praise God. That's why no weapon formed against us will prosper, because there's no guilt in us. There's no judgment. Jesus took all our judgment and gave us his righteousness. We are in covenant with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in him. And again, there are outward signs to that faith. We are to live a consecrated life. Live as though we believe God. Live as though God is real and we are doers of his word. That's our part of the covenant. Be doers of the word. Believers, believe. Remember, faith without works is dead. So we want to be doers of the word of God. Walk by faith and not by sight. When we get over here in the flesh, we judge ourselves. When we get over here and we do things that we know is just unbelief, it's not faith, and we get out away from our covenant, we just repent, praise God, and we confess that to God. We judge ourselves, and if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. You won't fall under judgment. Devil can't bring any judgment on you, praise God, if you've judged yourself. So be quick to judge yourself. Be on top of your flesh. Don't just accept stuff that's not of God in your life. Judge it. Don't be quiet about it. Judge it. And then when the devil tries to come along with condemnation and tell you what he's going to do to you because you're not so good, you're not so righteous, you just turn to him and say, no, it is written. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. I've judged myself, and now I resist you. Get out in Jesus' name. And you can stand confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus. You are in covenant with God. Praise God. And so we have a better covenant than they had under the Old Testament, under this old covenant. But Moses, he knew better. And he violated that covenant. He compromised his convictions to please his wife. To make his wife, you know, because some wives are tough. I find it very interesting that Moses can stand up in Egypt. He kills a man. You know, he stands up. I'm God's deliverer. I mean, he's tough as nails. Kills a man. His bare hands. Buries him in the sand. And then later he goes on and he ends up standing before Pharaoh. And I mean, here's this bold man of God. But when his wife came in the room, Moses! Yes, honey. Moses! Yes, darling. Sometimes the good wine of a woman can unnerve a man. Cause him to lose his faith. Well, whatever happened here, Moses compromised for his wife. A lot of people compromise for a spouse, for companionship. They'll compromise their convictions, compromise what they know God's calling them to do. They won't live the way they're supposed to live because honey over here, whom they're dating, doesn't live that way. And so, and of course, they want to win honey over. Or their family. Well, I know I should be at that church. I know that. But my kids. I'm so concerned about my kids. They would never want to go to a church like that. And so people disobey God to please family. To please other people. Very dangerous, as we see here with Moses. But somehow, maybe Moses said something. Moses knew he's carrying around this guilt. You know, he's walking in condemnation. Because again, condemnation is when you have a conviction, but then don't do anything about it. When you don't obey the convictions of your heart, that conviction turns to condemnation. And condemnation, according to the book of Hebrews, is a fearful expectation of judgment. When a person's walking in condemnation, they know that they're guilty, and they have a sense about them. They're walking in a fearful sense of judgment. They just know something, this is going to catch up to me. Because they know things aren't right. They thought things aren't right. So Moses is carrying this around, suppressed down on the inside of him. But when judgment hit, Satan had a door wide open to come in. And isn't it interesting that Satan didn't come in to try to kill Moses until Moses is now going to do something very significant for God? Isn't that interesting? Satan really didn't care much about him, you know. I mean, I know he dealt with his demons out there in the wilderness, you know. But man, when he got up to go, when he went to go serve God, walk in obedience, then suddenly, all of a sudden, the devil's looking for something. He goes, yeah. Now, suddenly, we're going to use this against you. Another good reason why there are delays many times to us being able to stand in the fullness of what God has called us to do. Sometimes it's the mercy of God. We're not ready. We haven't addressed these issues back here. And if we step out now into this new thing that God's, this ultimate thing that God's called us to do, Satan's going to pick us off. We got to get these things straightened out first before we move into the greater. Because we become a greater target when we step into the greater. But you're only a target if you're in condemnation. You're only a target if you're walking in guilt. If you're walking pure before the Lord, having a clean conscience, then the devil's your target. You're not the devil's target. You're just walking around looking for the devil. Looking for the bullseye. The devil's eye. And that's how it's supposed to be. But now all of a sudden, you know, here he is going to do this great thing. And the devil says, now this would be a good time to kill him. And he finds cause to be able to kill Moses. He finds fault outside the covenant. And how many people know, if you're outside the covenant, it's easy to find fault with you. Right? That's why we got to hide in him. We got to stay in him. Our righteousness is of him. Praise God. It's of him. And that's where our confidence will be. But so somehow, Zipporah understood this. Maybe Moses said it and said, circumcise, Junior.
circumcise Jonah, I'm dying.
And Zipporah did it. And as soon as she did it, Satan had to let him go. Oh, isn't that good? I mean, he's right there in the grip of death, Moses is. He's in the very grip of death. He's dying right there. But right there on his deathbed, when he made that adjustment and put works to his faith, that devil couldn't hold him another second. Wow, that tells you the power of the covenant. And that's the old covenant. We got a better covenant in this new covenant. That, do you understand it? The devil couldn't hold him, not for another second. The devil had to let him go. Soon as he stepped in obedience, bam, that devil took off, man. He fled. It doesn't matter how far gone a person is. If a person can get things right with God, get into faith concerning their covenant with God, putting works to their faith, bam, devil can't do nothing. Doesn't that just excite you? The devil can't do nothing. You got to let me go. You got to let my family go. You got to let my stuff go. Can't keep your hands on it. Why? I'm in covenant with God. Devil try to mess you, you go, are you kidding me? I'm in covenant with God. I don't think so. A lot of times, the devil bring lying symptoms and worries. And they're just lying symptoms and worries. Because you're in covenant with God. But he's trying to make it look like he's got you in his grip. But you got to believe in Christ Jesus. You got to have faith in him. That no matter what's going on, bless God, you can just shake him off. And say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now, he didn't say no weapon will be formed against you. The devil will test you. He'll test your faith to see if you really believe in the covenant. If you really believe you're the righteousness of God. If you really believe no weapon formed against you will prosper. So he'll form weapons. But when you know you're the righteousness of God in him, your righteousness is of the Lord, that's when they won't prosper. Amen. So the devil will come, he'll test you. But praise God. It's just a lying symptom. A lying symptom accompanied by worry. Devil always gives himself away that way, you know. There'll always be worry, intense worry that comes along with the symptom. All kinds of fearful thoughts always come either right before or during the symptoms. And you just know, that's the devil. That's the devil. Trying to form a weapon against me, but praise God, it won't prosper. I'm in covenant with the Almighty. Go! In Jesus' name. And out they go. Out they go. Say, out they go. Out they go. They can't stay. Praise God. They can't stay. So we got to beware of compromising our convictions for the sake of family, for the sake of others. You know, it's so sad. Like here with Zipporah, she ended up having to go back to Jethro, her father. She went with the kids. She turned around. She went back. She couldn't go on in with Moses to work with him in the ministry. Moses had to fulfill this ministry without her. Now, they were going together. Should have been able to go together, obviously. But because of her disdain for the covenant, because of her unbelief, she wasn't able to go in with him. But thank God he still went on. He didn't try to stay back and keep Schnookums happy. Huh? Well, I can't go to Egypt without you. How could I do that? I left my heart in Midian. No. He went on, praise God. Following God was more important to him than having his companion with him in the natural. And Jesus said over in Luke 14, verse 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know, God isn't just like, oh, anybody that wants to be my disciple. No, you got to have faith in him. It means you got to have total trust in him. That means you've got to build your life on him. He's the rock who you are building your life on. Too many people treat Jesus like he's a supplement to their life that they're building. You know, he's a rabbit foot. You know, they got their little cross around their neck. They got their little lucky Jesus charm. They believe in Jesus because if I come to Jesus, Jesus is going to enhance my life. He's going to give me prosperity and good things. They don't understand, that's not faith in God. Faith, if you just look at the letters, F means forsaking all, I take him. I like that. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I take him. That's faith. It's letting everything else go and saying, I am building my life. I'm building my trust on God alone. He is my comfort. He is my strength. He is my protection. He is my health. He is my prosperity. He is my everything. I hate that old life of living life for me, building life on me. I hate that life. I hate that life. I do. I hate that old life before I knew Jesus, where I was building my own life, having my own dreams that I came up with for myself. I hate that. And if anybody comes along and tries to get between me and Jesus, and tries to stop me, no matter how close they are to me, how much I care for them, if they try to become a wedge between me and God, I hate them also. Because my love for him is greater than any love for anything else. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the language of faith right there. That's how faith talks. Forsaking all, I take him. And so here he's saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to live the life of faith, faith in me, trust in me, which is an awesome life, by the way. Huh? It's an abundant life, right? Oh, my Lord Jesus, just knowing God, just knowing you're right with God makes you feel so good. Just to be clean, just to be holy, just to be set apart for him, just to know that God is for you and he's not against you. To wake up and know God is for me, praise God. Why? Because I have forsaken all, and I'm following him. I'm going his way. Just knowing that, such peace, such joy. And he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother, and says, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I've seen people just completely miss God. I remember a young man. God called him out to the same Bible school I went to. And we came out of the same church in New York. And I came back for the summer between first and second year. And him and I were talking. And he had the same call that I had to go to that school on his life. I knew he was supposed to go. He knew he was supposed to go. In fact, God already put it on the hearts of other people in the church to do things for him, to provide for him while he's out at school. One guy knew that he was to buy him a car. Another guy knew that he was supposed to pay his tuition. But God had spoke to them not to tell him that. He put it on their heart to take care of him, but don't tell him that. So he didn't know any of those things. I knew those things. And so, you know, he's ready to go. And then, you know, I'd see him every Sunday, you know, at church over that summer between first and second year of Bible school. And so I said, well, you getting ready for Bible school? He said, well, I'm not going to go now. He said, because, you know, my dad from Italian family, very Italian family. He said, my dad just started crying and he just couldn't stand to think that I was leaving. I was going to go all the way out to Oklahoma And he was just really, my parents were very upset, just crying over it. And so, you know, I said, well, I said, but God's put this in your heart to go, right? He said, well, you know, I think so, but maybe not now. I don't think now's the time for that, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, let's say your dad was excited about you going, and you didn't have your dad crying about you going, then would you feel like it's okay to go? Then would you want to go? He said, oh, yeah, I'd go. I said, that's God talking to you. I said, follow your heart. Don't follow your parents. Follow your heart. He goes, you're right, you're right. I'm going. He got all fired up until next Sunday. Then next Sunday, you know, it was always something. Every week it was something. Then he said, well, I just got this job, and it's a really nice job, and he's going on. I said, well, let me ask you this. If you didn't have this job, just forget that even existed, forget all these things existed, would you want to go? He said, oh, yeah. I said, that's your heart talking to you. Don't go by outward things. Go by that desire in your heart. I said, that's God talking to you. He goes, you're right, you're right. He got all fired up. He was ready to go until next week. Then I saw him again. And then I said, well, you're getting ready to go? He said, you know, I got this great job. And he said, I just met this girl. She's a really nice girl. And I think there's something going on there. I think God brought her in my life. And so he starts going on about this girl. I said, well, after he goes through this whole thing, I said, now, let's just pretend the job and the girl and your parents, none of those things, let's just say none of those things exist. If none of those things existed, would you want to go? He said, yeah. I said, that's your heart. Follow it. Well, finally, praise God, he ended up getting out there. And he got out there, and registration day was there, and, you know, he was in line getting his stuff and all that. And you could tell he was all upset. He said, yeah, I was talking to my dad on the phone. He was crying. Now we're out in Oklahoma. He said, Dad, just crying on the phone and everything else. And he said, you know, I do have another ticket back. It was cheaper to get a round-trip ticket coming out here. And I have this other ticket. I said, listen, let's just pretend. You know, many times that's how you can find the will of God for your life. Just remove all the reasoning. Remove all the fleshly things that are pulling on you, trying to help you make a decision. Just clear those things out of the way and say, if none of these things existed, what would I want to do? Would I want to do that? Many times that's where you'll find the will of God. Well, anyway, make a long story short, I talked him out of it. He did okay for a few days, and then I found out he flew back. He took that other ticket, and he went back home, and he missed God. I saw him a few years later, and now he was out there going to school. And he came up to me at one of the seminars they were having out there, a special meeting that I went out to, and he said, man, I missed it. I should have listened to God, listened to you, and I know I should have been out here whatever how many years ago. You know, but, you know, better late than never. But he missed God all those years. He was supposed to have done that. Didn't do it. Why? All this reasoning, all these external things, not following the conviction of his heart. So why don't you right now just say, I will follow the convictions of my heart. Yeah. Remember, God gives you the desires of your heart. The desires, find out what's that desire that's on the inside of you and follow it every day. Follow that inner desire every day. Clear out all the clutter, all the desires that are according to the flesh, and find out what is in your heart, because that's finding the will of God for your life, because it's in your heart that God is going to lead you. Amen. Jesus also said in Luke 18:29. He said, so he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Look at this amazing promise of what God's going to do for those that forsake all to follow him. And notice here, he says, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the gospel's sake. In other words, sometimes there's a time to leave the family, even your wife, even your children, to follow the greater call of God on your life. Which tells me that you and I have to watch about becoming so entangled with family and friends, relationships. We have to watch about that. Remember, we are devoted to the Lord. He is the one that we're going to follow no matter what. Not people. Not people. We love people. We care for people. But we watch that our affections for people do not become greater than our commitment to the Lord. Our commitment, our consecration to Him is greater than our affections that we have towards other people. You got to watch that. People get so attached to people. They get so attached to things that they don't obey God. That's not right. I said, that's not right. I remember there was a great move of God many years back. And, there was persecution, of course, that came with it. There were people that didn't understand some of the things that were just being radically God. And one of the things that was happening was teenagers were coming and they were just being radically changed. I mean, the fire of God was hitting them and they were just becoming totally sold out to God. Just totally sold out. Well, it was this one young lady, she just became totally sold out to God, just fell in love with the Lord, was ready to leave everything, follow Jesus. Just wanted to be in the revival, wanted to be at church every night. Well, the parents got upset about it because they weren't saved. And so I remember they were actually on the news, the parents, and they were whining and complaining how this thing could not be of God, this revival. It could not be of God. It's not of Jesus, they said. Because Jesus would never divide a family up like this is dividing our family. Our daughter, she wants to go to the revival. It's causing division in our home. And that's not God. God doesn't cause division. And a lot of folks will just, yeah, that's true. That makes sense. I'm talking about Christians, so-called. Yeah, that's true. God would never cause division. But I remember Jesus coming saying, I did not come to bring peace on earth, but to bring a sword. To separate a mother from her daughter, and a daughter from her mother, a father from a son from father, son-in-law from father-in-law. Right? And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. That's what Jesus said. And here Jesus is talking about, there's rewards for leaving people that you're close to, people that you love according to the flesh. There's rewards for saying, I love you, but I've got to go on and I've got to obey God. I've got to go on and I've got to serve Him. No, I've got to go on. I can't stay here. God's calling me to the mission field or to wherever it is. Could that happen? Would God do that? Yes, He would. Yes, He would. He would call you. In fact, He has called. His calling is on our life. It's there. It's just a matter of when it's going to be activated. And if the family isn't going, we still are. Because it's Him. He's our judge. We got to stand before in eternity. And really, the truth is, the best thing you could do for the ones you love is obey God. The worst thing you can do for the people you love, your family, the worst thing you can do for them is compromise the Word of God, compromise the call of God, compromise your convictions to make them comfortable. Worst thing you can do. It can get you killed or get them killed or get you all killed. It can get everybody killed. Why? It opens the door to the devil, just like we see here with Moses. Satan came in there and tried to kill him. Could have tried to kill his son because his son wasn't circumcised. But instead, he went for Moses. So if you want to protect your family, obey God, which might mean offending your family, making people in the house unhappy. So Zipporah, she could not go on. And back over here in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came into the wilderness, the Bible says he sent for his wife to come. And so Zipporah and his two sons came back from Jethro because Jethro had taken them back in. So they had returned home. So thank God he got his wife back, got his family back. Many times that's what's going to happen. There'll be a lot of crying, a lot of emotion, a lot of struggling. But a lot of times you'll get your Isaac back if you lay him on the altar. Abraham had a family member that he loved a whole lot, didn't he? And he laid him on the altar for the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants, here it is. I'm not going to put Isaac over my family. Thank God he didn't. That saved both him and Isaac and caused them to become extremely blessed because he obeyed God. And he ended up getting his Isaac back. Well, same thing here. He ended up getting his Zipporah back. Took a long vacation from her. That probably wasn't a bad thing. It all worked out. They all came back together again. One big happy family out in the wilderness now, see? Hallelujah. God's good. Can you say amen? Amen. So we want to make sure that we're living consecrated lives under God. Consecrating ourselves to him. Following the convictions of our heart, even if it makes things hard for us at home. Follow the convictions of your heart. Continue to walk in love. Grow in godly character. Because you never want your ministry, and you all got a ministry. You never want your ministry to outweigh your character. If your ministry becomes greater or bigger than your character, you're in for a big fall. Because it's character, it's our consecration to God that's going to hold up a mighty ministry. So we got to be big on the inside. How many people believe God's doing some mighty things? Huh? How many people believe he's looking to bring about some mighty things? Huh? And you're here, you're involved in it, you're a part of that? Grow in character, because that's the foundation to the anointing of God. That's the foundation that's going to hold up the glory of God. When you look up the word glory, one of the definitions is weighty. God's glory is weighty. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance can be translated foundation. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? We're hoping for the glory of God. We're in expectation about the glory of God. Right? Christ in you, your hope of glory. So faith is the foundation and the only foundation that's strong enough to hold up the glory that we're hoping for. We're in expectation about that we know's coming. Amen? So if your faith, and again, you don't have any more faith than you have character. So let your faith continue to grow, praise God, so that you have the character, the consecration, the commitment to God that can stand under the weightiness of God's glory. Thank God. Moses got it right. But you know what? If Moses didn't get it right, we wouldn't be talking about Moses tonight. Moses would have died. He would have died. God works through legal means to accomplish his purpose in the earth. Satan understands that. Satan had a way in legally to destroy Moses. But thank God Moses got it right. He got it right and got the door shut on the devil and was able to go on and fulfill his ministry. There's a lot of folks that never got it right. They never went on to fulfill their ministry. You know, the Lord appeared to a great prophet of God by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And this man of God, Kenneth Hagin, was called into the ministry, obviously. And he had been serving in the ministry now for like, I think it was 10 years, pastoring. And the Lord came to him in a vision and said to him, he said, you are now entering into the first phase of the ministry I've called you to. And he thought, the first phase? He said, what in the world have I been doing all these years? Well, he's been growing. He's been growing in faith. But now, he's been serving God in these various different capacities, but now he's stepping in to the first phase of what he's actually really called to. And he's thinking, what I've been doing? And the Lord spoke to him and said, many of my ministers live and die and never enter into the first phase of the ministry I called them to. Man, that's a wake-up call. Huh? I mean, you know, many of my ministers, in other words, they're ministering, they're pastoring, evangelizing, whatever they're doing. But he said, many of them never enter into the first phase of the ministry I've called them to. They die. They don't make it. That ain't going to be me. I'm going to fulfill every phase of the ministry God's called me to. How about you? Why don't you declare it right now? Say, I'm going to fulfill every phase of the ministry God has for me. Hallelujah. I say that every time the devil comes and gets up on my shoulder and says, I just want to quit the ministry. Oh, the most depressing thought and feeling comes. It just comes out of nowhere. I'll just be going along minding my own godly business. And all of a sudden, this feeling and these thoughts, just depressing, is going to be just, I just want to quit the ministry. I just want to quit the ministry. And discouragement just hits you from hell. It's not natural. A lot of folks think it's just natural. They think they're just dealing with depression. Why? Well, I've had a hard life. Margaret's been rough. The kids, they left. I'm just discouraged. No, it's more than that. It's a demon. He's trying to take you out of the plan of God for your life so he can kill you. You got to resist him. Recognize that's not your thought. You don't think like that. You don't think like that. No, I've made so many mistakes. That's the devil talking to you. That's not just you. That's the devil getting in there, trying to put these thoughts in your mind. Resist him. Speak up. Just like I do. Those thoughts come. Depressing thoughts come. I just want to quit the ministry. So I immediately know this is the devil. Well, when that feeling comes on you, it's a spirit of heaviness. The Bible talks about a spirit of heaviness. You know, it says put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Right? Last thing you want to do is praise God when that spirit of heaviness comes on you. Last thing in the world you want to do. You'd rather curse. You'd rather kick somebody than praise God. I'm just telling you, that's what it feels like when the devil comes on you. That heaviness comes on you. You don't want to praise God. But he says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. And you got to do it. You got to do it. So it comes on. And I just lift my voice and say, hey, devil, I'm so glad you said that about me quitting the ministry. And I'm going to take this opportunity to just let you know and declare that I'm going to fulfill every phase of the ministry God has for me. And I'm going to run my race with joy. You know, it's amazing how fast that depression goes. It's amazing how fast discouragement goes. A lot of folks go and they go to the psychiatrist. They take meds. I'm taking meds. I'm smoking marijuana. I'm doing everything to deal with the stress. Marijuana doesn't intimidate the devil. You're making it worse. I'm doing the meds. The meds don't chase the devil away. It can kind of knock your brain out of sync so that you can't hear anything, even the devil. That's about all it can do. I feel much better now that I'm on meds. I don't hear anything anymore. Great. What a great solution. Now live like a zombie. So many times, people are dealing with depression, and all they got to do is lift their voice to God and end it. They can end it just like that. I'm not talking about, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I tried it, Pastor. I tried. It only got worse. Get aggressive. Take your ugly feeling self, because you're feeling ugly at that moment. Take your ugly feeling self and walk out there. I just want you to know, devil, I'm going to run my race. I'm going to crush your horns into the ground as I run my race with joy. I'm going to laugh all the way to heaven. I'm going to make a mockery of you. I'm going to let everybody know Jesus defeated you. He disarmed you. Take all your ugliness and spew it on the devil. He will not stick around. I personally guarantee it. I'll give you a written guarantee. He won't stick around. You do it right, he won't stick around. He'll flee as in terror, just like the Bible says. He'll flee as in terror. Can you say amen? So Moses, now he's going on to do what God's called him to do. And one of the things he's going to do is he is going to decree and declare God's judgment over a nation. He's going to decree and declare God's judgment to an ungodly government. But you see, he can't do that until he himself is free of all judgment. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:6, it says, be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, Moses is ready to go. He's got the rod. He's ready to punish Egypt for its disobedience, declaring God's judgments. But he himself has not judged himself. That's dangerous. We got to beware about being quick to judge others before we judge ourselves. Because if we're just judging other people, then we're setting ourselves up to be judged. I think a perfect example of that is Peter, the Apostle Peter. You know, he says, Lord, I'll never deny you. And the Lord just finished saying, you're going to deny me. You're all going to forsake me. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never do it. Jesus says, no, in fact, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it three times before this night's over. You're going to have denied me three times. He says, Lord, though all deny you, I'm ready to die with you. I would never deny you. He's not listening to his heart. He's not listening to Jesus. Jesus is speaking. When Jesus speaks, it puts conviction in you. He's not hearing the conviction. He's not following that. He's in pride. He's hardened himself. Again, he knows more than Jesus. He's smarter. Though all deny you, I'll never deny you. Man, those very words set him up to be tested by the devil. By saying, I'd never deny you. Jesus said, you're all going to forsake me. He said, I'll never deny you. Then Jesus said, well, actually, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. See, it just called the devil to come and test him. Is he really that good? If you're judging other people, are you really that good? I would never do that. I can't believe what they did. Watch about words like that coming out of your mouth. I can't believe they did that. Really? You're that far above it. You're that superior. You're that good in yourself. You would never do that. No, I wouldn't. I would never do that. Well, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's a lot of things you'd be doing right now. It's God that's holding you back from trouble. God keeping you on the path of life. It's by his grace that we stand. Right? So, you know, we understand that. And so because we are trusting in his righteousness, not trusting in ourselves, we would never judge other people and condemn other people. Saying, I would never do that. That's a dangerous thing. Instead, we should be sympathetic towards other people and understand human weaknesses. And understand and relate to them. We should be able to relate to people. Can you say amen? You relate to that guy that cut you off on the road. Why? Because you yourself know you've cut several people off. Isn't that right? It's amazing how unmerciful drivers are. I can't believe you cut me off. It's like, I know you've never done that. You've never been in a rush. You don't know what it's like to be in a rush somewhere and to do something stupid. You would never do that. I understand. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget our own faults. But we got to watch out for that. We don't want to judge other people. No. We're able to punish disobedience, bring God's discipline to disobedience, because we ourselves are walking in obedience to God. Yes, you can walk in obedience to God. And yes, you shall. Can you say amen? Say, I'm walking in obedience to God. Hallelujah. There's no reason to have anything in your life that would be a source of condemnation. Because you have a sense of judgment, a fearful expectation of judgment in your life. Bad things happen to people and they say, I knew it. I knew it figures. It figures. You know what that is? That's condemnation talking. That's Murphy's Law. You know, I think you expect it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Why do you expect that? What's going on in there? What kind of image you have of yourself that you expect bad things to happen? We should be walking knowing that we're the righteousness of God, doing what we know to do. I don't know everything, but I know to do what I know to do. Right? That's what God expects of you. Do what you know to do. I'm not expecting you to know everything, but do what you know to do. That's what you're responsible for. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Know you're doing what you know to do. And you'll have confidence and you'll have peace. Praise God. You'll know I'm following God, obeying God, and then when something happens, you go, no, that don't happen to me. No. Turn around. You missed. That was the guy down the block. You missed. Wrong house. Hallelujah. No, I'm not expecting judgment. I'm not expecting trouble. Jesus took all my judgment. He redeemed me from the curse so that now nothing's left but the blessing. Amen. I'm looking for the blessing to show up. I don't receive any packages that say curses on it. I don't open it up and go, yeah, I knew this was coming. No, a package of curses show up at my door. I go, wrong house. Wrong house. And then you look for the blessing bus. Just waiting for the blessing bus. Yep, that's right. Praise God, bring that in here. Thank you so much. That's what I've been expecting. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Somebody say, I'm blessed. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight if you got some victory in you. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.